Helsing spent 25 years on the PGA Tour and is a lifetime member of the PGA Tour and PGA of America. Now he provides his unique perspective as a golfer and network broadcaster. It's time to go On the Range with Jay Delsing.
On the Range is brought to you by Vehicle Assurance.
Hey, good morning. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay. I got Pearly with me. Pearly, good morning. What's happening?
Doing good, Jay. Just kind of checking out the wildlife. Ready to go with the show.
All right. We're going to go with that. No, don't edit that, me. We're going to leave the wildlife on there. Pearly's down in the Florida somewhere, probably in the bushes, looking for a good place to fish out of. So we formatted the show like a round of golf. The first segment is called the On the Range segment, and it's brought to you by our friends at Vehicle Assurance. 866-341-9255. If you need additional coverage or any sort of coverage for your car, no matter what your car is, they have it for you. They've been in business for 10 years. Great folks. Our social media outlets, should we do it? Nah, forget it. You guys just look up Jay Delsing somewhere and maybe you'll find us, maybe you won't. But Bob and Kathy Donahue, we got to thank those guys. 314-805-2132. Donahue Painting and Refinishing. Great people, but better work. Man, they do some great stuff. So if you need a little refresh in your home, give Bob and Kathy a call. All right, Pearly. I got to sit down. So we're kind of having like a double Masters tribute, two shows. What am I trying to say? Two shows in tribute for the Masters.
Back to back. Love it.
Yeah, so in 1968, Bob Golby won the Masters in, without question, the most controversial fashion, which, you know, when we could talk about this a little bit before the interview, Pearl, because when I got on with Bob, and by the way, 92 years old, John? Oh, my gosh.
He was awesome.
He was just absolutely terrific. I felt like once we started talking about golf, he really, really picked up his – I could almost, you know, feel him rewalking those steps and retracing those memories. It was really fun.
Golf lights him up. Golf lights him up even today. That's cool to be passionate like that. Just anywhere from his regular tour to his senior tour exploits, he was totally into it.
Yeah, he totally was. And if you guys want to go on YouTube, pull up the Butler Cabin presentation from 1968. You'll see what I mean by I looked at him like, this is just off. Roberto DiVincenzo and Bob Golby finished with the same score, supposedly, in 1968. I think they were both either 11 or 12 under. And what happened was, as you know, we golfers are responsible for the hole-by-hole scores on each hole to make sure our score is right. Well, Roberto DiVincenzo signed for a 4 on number 17 when he actually made a 3. And if he had made a 4 and signed for a 3, he would have been DQ'd. But he signed for a higher score, so he gets to keep the higher score. When that error is found, Bob Golby wins the tournament. But Jen, and I didn't bring this up in the interview because Bob, when I talked to Bob ahead of time, he didn't want to talk about it. I don't blame him. But Jen, he received hate mail. It was like Bob Golby did something wrong. I mean, the man shot 66 on Sunday at Augusta to win the tournament because of an error by one of his competitors and really took a beating over it.
Well, I'm glad to know there was crazy, stupid, silly hate mail back then, too, I suppose. Or maybe I'm not glad to know that. Yeah, it wasn't his fault. He did what he was supposed to do, and the rules of golf handed it to him. Obviously, it was a strange affair all the way around, but what are you going to say? No, I'm not going to take it? That's part of the deal. We both had encounters with scorecard issues and stuff like that through all the career. It's part of the game, baby. It is part of the game.
Yeah, and it just kind of happens. And, man, Pearl, I got to say this, too. It's so nice to have the weather as broken and spring is sprung, as they say. And, man, I hope all of our listeners are out getting their game on. It's a tough time of year. We said this last year. Let's talk just a little bit about that, Pearl, before we go into the interview. The golf courses are, without question, in their most difficult scoring shape in the springtime.
And we're excited to be out there. We have huge expectations. And it's sometimes a little cool and it's a little bit soft. And so a lot of things aren't quite happening right. So it's a tough combination. But maybe that's the combination way it's meant to be. Thank goodness we're all excited about it. Otherwise, it might be a little tough to put up with this time of year.
No, it's really true. And, you know, especially for folks in the Midwest, John, we get breezy conditions in the spring and in the fall, but in the summertime, we very seldom get any sort of wind, right? But, man, with the ground being soft and the wind being up, the grass is long because of the spring rains and the greens not being their best. Those combinations make it extremely tough, man, extremely tough times to score.
That's all right, though. That's part of the game, and we enjoy each of the seasons, and they each come with another challenge. I mean, the game's challenging enough, and then the season's caused, and the weather's caused the challenge, but that's all part of it.
Yeah, well, hopefully some of our listeners got their butts off the couch, got a little walking in, got some sort of exercise, some stretching in, so they're going to leg up this year and be ready to play. So, John, Jordan Spieth struggled and didn't win on the PGA Tour for 4 years. Ricky Fowler is going through something pretty similar. But in fairness to Spieth, I don't think Ricky's record matches up to Jordan's, especially in my mind. Jordan's won 3 majors and I think 12 events, and I think Ricky's won only 5. But it's interesting to watch somebody work through those chasms, Pearl, and then come out on top again, isn't it?
Well, we know it happens, and it happens to different levels with different folks, but it always happens, and you certainly get your mettle tested. You know, Jay, what do you know that you can share that each of them is doing maybe a little bit differently relative to their instructors, the team? Are they changing their teams in and out? You know, meaning their strength guy, their swing guy, their psychological guy as part of the team. What do you know, if anything, about those guys on how they're handling that kind of rough patch? And obviously, as you said, Jordan's been more than coming out of it.
Yeah, so what was really interesting to me, Pearl, is Jordan's longtime swing coach, Cameron McCormick, he stuck with him through this really difficult 4 years. Really difficult. And Ricky left Butch about a year ago. And, Boy, I just – what I know of teachers, John. Cameron McCormick's been with Spieth since he's been a little kid. What I know about teachers, boy, I don't know if I'd ever want to go away from Butch once I got, you know, the ability to get in front of him.
Somebody else went away from Butch once upon a time, a fairly famous guy, and took him a little bit of time to kind of get things back in order.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Mr. Tiger Woods, right? They separated ways. And if I remember right, you know, Tiger was always great, but when he was with Butch, things were rather spectacular. Obviously, something changed to have them part ways. But Tiger had less than Tiger-esque times after that for a while.
Yeah, he sure did. And I did get an update on Tiger, Pearl, just to report a little bit. He's, Rory McIlroy, JT, Ricky Fowler, the guys, some of Brooks, some of the guys that live in that area have really done a neat job of staying in touch with him and kind of going by, visiting with him for a little bit and just trying to keep his spirits up because Rory had a great comment where he said, look, every single thing is better when Tiger plays. That's just the only way to look at it, and we need him out here, we want him out here, and we just hope for the best. And Rory did say in one of his interviews at Augusta last week where he said Tiger's doing much better than Rory himself thought. And he had very, very high hopes for Tiger playing PGA Tour caliber golf again. So, wow, I said the same thing, John.
Well, when it comes up, you and I are both agreed to not be speculating, and I just hope for him. I want to see him play with his son again.
Yeah, amen.
If that happens as a selfish thing, from my perspective, that was a thing of beauty in the world of golf, and I hope we get to see a lot more of that in the future.
Yeah, Pearl, it was almost like a thing of life, wasn't it, you know, getting to see him do that. All right, so the tip of the cap segment is brought to you by the Dean Team of Kirkwood, 314-966-0303. And the tip of the cap today goes to all of the grandmas and grandpas that share family stories and history to all of us to help us know where we came from, who we are, how we got here, and keep that lineage alive. And having Bob Golby on the show this week, it's a perfect tip of the cap to kind of go back, reminisce a little bit about the history of the game and someone who was involved with some really crucial foundational parts of the PGA Tour. So my man Colin Burnt and Brandy will take great care of you over at the Dean team of Kirkwood. 314-966-0303. If you need any sort of vehicle, call those guys. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back for the front nine and Bob Golby. This is Golf with Jay Delsing.
Hello, friends. This is Jim Nance, and you are listening to Golf with my friend Jay Delsing.
Marcone Appliance Parts Company needs to recognize one of their own for reaching a career pinnacle that few even dare to aspire to. West Coast Vice President Jeff Diamond is a 45-year employee of Marcone and the most recognizable icon at any gathering of service industry professionals. With flowering silver hair and a matching personality, he has listened to, learned from, mentored, and entertained the most influential people in the appliance service industry. He's a road warrior, all right, whose perseverance and drive have earned him the friendship of hundreds and the respect of thousands. Well played, Jeff. Thanks for your dedication and tremendous attitude. It's great to be on your team. Marcone Appliance Parts Company is based in St. Louis, Missouri, and is the largest distributor of major appliance parts in North America and proud distributor of General Electric Parts.
I am delighted to welcome Marie Davila to the Golf with Jay Delsing show. I'm sure you know where it is, but in case you don't, Marie Davila is a landmark out in West St. Louis County. It's located on the corner of Clayton and Wideman Roads. It's also on 21 beautiful rolling acres right on the way out to Queenie Park. It's a country club-like atmosphere. It's iconic, and it's absolutely gorgeous. When my dad died and my mom decided she didn't want to live alone, Marie Davila was the first place we called. When we pulled up, we were greeted at the front door by the owner, and he took us around on a tour of the facility. We learned that there are 1, 2, and 3-bedroom villas that you can live in, and there's also 24-hour care in the East, West, and the Waterford buildings. So Marie Davila had everything that my mom wanted. One of the things that stood out in my mind as well was the way the family-owned business treats their guests. That's right, they refer to them as guests, but they treat them like family. So if you're in the process of trying to make a tough decision for this next part of life, you got to visit Marie Davila. This is local, this is family, and this is St. Louis. This is Marie Davila. Come be our guest.
When things come out of left field, having a game plan makes all the difference. Luckily, Farmers Insurance has been helping people cover their bases for more than 90 years, and they can help you, too. Talk to Farmers agent Ed Fogelbach today to see if you have the coverage you want for whatever curveballs may come your way. Call 314-398-0101. That's Ed Fogelbach at 314-398-0101.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
SSM Health Physical Therapy treats all athletes ranging from the weekend warrior to the professional. Their sports specially trained physical therapists treat all types of sports injuries from football to baseball, soccer to gymnastics, and running to golf. Let my friends at SSM Health Physical Therapy help you get back on the field and maximize your potential, like they've helped me with my knee surgery. Call them at 800-518-1626 or visit them on the web at SSMPhysicalTherapy.com. Your therapy, our passion.
Grab your clubs. We're headed to the front nine on Golf with Jay Delsing.
The front nine is brought to you by the Ascension Charity Classic.
Hey, this is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay. I got Pearly with me. Brad Barnes Meats taking great care of us here at the ESPN Studios. And we're headed to the front nine. This front nine is brought to you by the Ascension Charity Classic. What a great host these guys are going to be for this tournament, Pearly. This September, September 6th through 12th, Norwood Hills, North County, St. Louis, Missouri. It's going to be the place to be in the golf world.
I love it. And you are kind of tuning up, and you're sounding like you're starting to get ready. I'm pretty excited for you.
Yeah, my new knee's kicking in. I haven't fallen down too many times today. So, looking forward to this. And I'm really looking forward, John, to listening to our 1968 Masters champion, Bob Golby, on our show today. Let's go straight to that interview.
That has to be one of the great clutch putts of all time. And those two, that is Roberto DiVincenzo, and he and Bob Golby finish the fourth round in the 1968 Masters tied 11 under par.
1968 Masters champion Bob Golby is brought to you by Golden Tee.
I am sitting down this morning with Mr. Golf, the godfather of golf in St. Louis, Bob Golby. Bob, thanks for joining me this morning.
Well, my pleasure. I'm out where it's nice and warm, and I'm headed to the Masters on Monday. I have a friend of mine is flying me down and flying me back, so I'm going to be there about 4 days watching, talking to the guys again, and it's always a great time of life and for me because 53 years ago I got lucky and won the tournament, and it always brings back great memories and great friends that week. Everybody in golf seems to be around the Masters that week. If you want to meet anybody in the golf peripheral business, you get under the big oak tree in front of the clubhouse and you can see everybody in the world that makes the golf courses tick.
You know, Bob, what a thrill to win the Masters in 1968. Take us back a little bit to that time and playing the tour. You had a great PGA Tour career, 12 wins, and we'll talk about how you were an integral part of establishing the Champions Tour in a little bit, but take us back to that time.
Well, I hadn't played well the last couple of weeks before that tournament. I missed the cut, and I had a little gimmick going. You know, golf is a lot of gimmicks and a lot of mental gimmicks. You get a little key that you're working on, and it works, and it gives you some confidence in the way you go. And I've never been I was always long enough off the tee, but I've never been real straight. I was a good iron player, but I drove the ball well that week at the Masters, and I putted well. Of course, you have to putt well to win. I only had one three-putt for the week, and that's pretty amazing at a Masters. You usually have three or four or five for the winner. But anyway, I played well that week, and I hit a lot of good drives, which helped my game because, as I told you, I was a good iron player, but not the straightest driver in the world. Always, a couple of guys always said you'd be the leading money winner if you could drive the damn ball straighter.
Well, Bob, amazing to think of that final round 66. I mean, you must have really had a great Sunday.
Yes, I shot 66 the final round. I three-putted 17, was that, as I told you. I only had one three-putt for the week, and I had control of my game off the tee and with the irons, and, of course, I putted well. You have to putt well at any golf tournament to even be in contention, much less win. And I was on top of my game that week, and, of course, I ended up winning, and it was a great honor. It puts you in another category in golf. You know, here's the category and there's the category, and I got into that so-called second category with the win at the Masters. Although I had a lot of good tournaments in before that and after that, I played golf a long time on the tour, both seniors and regular tour, and had, I thought, success. You know, maybe some people, you know, in Tiger's category or Snead or Hogan or Palmer, mine wasn't so good, but you got to understand how you get started and how much golf you played before and whether you were prepared to play the tour. The kids today are really prepared to play the tour, where when you played and I played, we had to learn how to play golf once we got on the tour.
Oh, Bob, that is so true. And, Bob, you were one hell of an athlete. You got you went to the University of Illinois to play football, didn't you?
I went there on a football scholarship, yes. And I didn't intend to play golf there. I was a golfer. I started caddying as a kid. I lived next to a country club across the street to Belleville, Illinois, and that's where I learned to start playing and caddying. And I'd sneak over every night and play because I lived right there. And that's where I learned to play golf. I got to be out. I could shoot somewhere around par before I went to high school. I couldn't do it every day, but I was capable of being a halfway decent golfer at that time.
Yeah, it's amazing how back when we played, Bob, I played whatever sport was seasonal at the time. You know, when it was cold out, we played basketball, and, you know, we played a little hockey. And then when it got warmer, we played baseball and a little golf. And we were like you said, we just played a bunch of sports and were around a stick and a ball, where today's players, man, by the time they're in their teens, they're focused on one game and one game only, I think.
That's right. Like they start preparing for that one sport now rather than playing all of them. And, of course, I am amazed even by watching the players through the years get better and better and younger and how good that they are and how good that they may be in the future. It's amazing how great control the golf ball. What amazes me, even back in Hogan and Snead's day, I was very fortunate to be able to play with Hogan and Snead a lot, and I played with Middlecoff and Jimmy DeMeritt. I played with Gene Sarazen, the partner the first year, and the legends of golf. And I go back to Palmer and Nicklaus, and of course, I played one round of golf with Tiger. And so I always thought to myself, I was pretty complete. I went through a pretty big cycle of players. There are great players. And my favorite player was Sam Snead. I thought he was the best of them all, but he didn't have the same makeup mentally as some of them have. He wasn't as tough mentally. He let the birds and the pretty girls and the automobiles and different noises bother him. You know, where a Nicklaus and a Hogan, they seem to play right through all the problems, including the Tiger. He's the same way. And, of course, now the young kids have had the schooling of all of those great champions and how they acted. And that's the way they're playing and acting today. And we're seeing these great stars come to surface early in their career. I can't believe how young they are and how good they are.
Bob, I was thinking the same thing, because there was a process, I felt like, and I never got nearly to the level that you did, but there was a process that, you know, you got on tour, then you had to figure out how to keep your card, and then you had to figure out how to win and get to these different levels. But some of these kids, like Colin Morikawa, and you know, they come on the scene and all of a sudden, you know, they're winning a major their rookie year.
Well, that's true. And of course, as I said, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. They can't Doesn't seem like they can get much better quicker, but they keep doing it week after week. They shoot lower scores, and it just is amazing. Of course, all athletes are better, and everybody's better at everything they do, but especially the athletes. Of course, we know the basketball players, how much they've improved. They're fantastic, and, you know, the golfers are approaching that particular pinnacle. I'm amazed with the young guys, how good they are and how they handle themselves.
Yeah, they're really doing well.
I know when you started playing and I did, we actually had to learn how to play golf on the tour, because we didn't play a lot of amateur golf. We couldn't afford to. Nowadays, it seems like the young kids can get pushed by the junior leagues around the country and by the area. They take care of the young players and they push them, and the PGA of America has the youngsters playing good golf, and they got the good instructors. It's amazing what the game has done and how far it has come in the 50, 60 years that I played.
Oh my gosh, Bob, tell me what made Sam Snead the best player in your opinion. I mean, I got to play with him one time, and I couldn't believe how he could work the ball and hit shots. And I don't see that from the modern player very much anymore.
Well, they played different type of golf courses for one thing, smaller greens, harder fairways. The ball got away from them easier. Now they're bigger fairways, longer courses. And the golf ball is held up a lot by the grasses. They can carry the ball a long way now. I never used to do that. They used to have to play little bump and run shots to little greens. You couldn't carry the green. You'd go over, make a double bogey six real quick. So the game was a little bit different. It was 60, 70 years ago than it is today. because now they're bombers and they get it way out there and they just force a 9-iron or a wedge on the green, where years ago they better be in the fairway because trying to hit a 5-iron out of a deep rough isn't too easy. It's a lot easier hitting a wedge. The game has really changed in the last 10 years just by being the bombers. I think we'll go back if they tighten the courses up a little bit. They still don't shoot the low scores that they shoot every day on the big courses. We're going to have to tighten them up and get the ropes a little higher and make them a little more narrow and a little more competitive. I think we're just playing now up to the big hitter. We're taking the medium good player out of the game.
Yeah, there's no question. And you watch, Bob, you got to play in the Ryder Cup in 1963. I also know that you got to, you were a mainstay on the NBC Golf telecast for, I think, almost 14 years. Bob, talk a little bit about what it was like playing in a Ryder Cup. And also, how did the TV change the way you saw the game?
Well, it was a great thrill to play on a Ryder Cup team. I should have been on three other ones, but I just barely missed. But that's neither here nor there. It's a great honor to play for the United States. And, of course, when they raised the flag and played the Star Spangled Banner, we all got a little chill, and it was a great honor. I got some good matches. I played at East Lake, at Atlanta, Georgia, at Bobby Jones's home course. And they play the tour championship there now in the fall. It's a good course and a good test. And, of course, I forget that second part of the question that you asked.
You were with NBC Sports for 14 years. When doing the telecast, did it help you see the game a little differently?
Yeah, well, anytime you got a chance to sit back and watch the game from the announcer's side of it, it helped your exposure, and of course it helped your exposure to the game. You saw it a little bit different. You kind of watched the swings a little better than when you're playing with somebody. You had a little more time, and it actually, most people that did a little television work, their games improved, and that's kind of unbelievable. You'd think it'd go the other way, but I think the fact that they learned a little bit by watching the great players and see how they acted from a different perspective. You know, when you're playing with them, you're fighting against them and you're not really watching all the details. But when you're just following in the golf tournament, announcing, you just seem to see a little more that's going on with the player. And, you know, we mentioned Snead before. What made him such a great player? Well, he had the gift of the greatest timing of any sportsman ever lived. He could do more things with his body than anybody even thought he could do. You know, when he was 85, he could still get the ball out of the bottom of the cup without bending his knees. And that's unbelievable that he could do that. He could do things like that that nobody else could even think of doing. And, of course, he, in 1958, Sports Illustrated wrote an article, and they wanted to know who they voted the top 25 guys. They wanted to know who the best iron player was and who the best wedge player. And all but one category, the guys just wrote Sam Snead across all of the different categories. So most of the players that played with him knew that he was that good. Now, of course, we've had Tiger and Nicklaus and Palmer, and we had some of these other, and Watson, other great players come along and kind of overshadow Sam a little bit because he's not there to protect himself. But he was a great player and great for the game. A lot of people thought he was grouchy, but he was really a good guy. If you got to know him, he was funny and from the hills of West Virginia. He played the part a little bit, being dumb and cheap. But that was just an act by Sam. He was a smart guy and knew how to take care of a buck.
Yeah, you know, Bob, I've heard stories about that. And so many times the personas that we hear about people aren't really true, you know, once you get to know them. I bet you had some amazing stories with the way you guys traveled back then, because I know you did. You drove to most of the events. There have to be. You probably could fill a couple volumes of books with some of these stories.
Yeah, well, some of the stories we can't write about, but of course, there was a little more fun in the tour years ago because everybody wasn't making commercials on Monday and Tuesday or playing TV matches. There wasn't any of that stuff. It was just drive to the next tournament, play practice rounds, and get ready for the next tournament. And it was Monday and Tuesday rounds were always a lot of fun. Didn't have as many pro-ams in those days as they have today. And so they had another day like Wednesday to practice and play and gamble a little bit. When I say gamble, a lot of people thought the players probably gamble a lot more than they do. They gamble, but not for big, big money. Once in a while, it gets to be a big game. But normally, they're just playing for $100 or $50 or $10, you know, kind of just a little competitive bet. And I think that's the only way for a young player to get to be a good player is to play for his own money. A lot of players can play for the prize money, but they can't play for their own money. It's just funny the way the purse is put together. And sometimes those little money games prepare you for the tournament. I know Sam, he wanted to gamble every practice round. He wouldn't play if we didn't have a game. And I was very fortunate. A couple hundred times with Sam, I got to be his best friend by his own writing, by his own pictures. You know, he wrote off to my best friend everything that he ever signed for me. And I always treasured that, being Sam's best friend. And at the later years, when he was slipping a little bit, he always just come to me and said, "Bob, what do you think about this? What do you think we ought to do about this?" He kind of used me as a compliment, and that made me feel very proud.
Oh, my gosh. I would say so. And, you know, there's something about, Bob, taking a $20 or $100 bill out of your own pocket and giving it to you. That stings. I don't like that. And I like you a lot. I don't want to give you my $100 bill.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, I was just telling somebody the other night about Sam told me when he only roomed one time with Hogan, and he said that Hogan would ground his teeth all night long, kept him awake. And the next morning, Sam said, "I'm never sleeping with you." He said, "You make noise all night long." And Hogan told him, he said, "Sam, you got to learn how to relax and sleep." Never traveled with Hogan again after that one night.
Okay, that's going to wrap up the front nine, but don't go anywhere. On the back nine, we'll have the conclusion of this interview with Bob Golby. This is Golf with Jay Delsing.
Hey, everybody, it's Vince Gill. You're listening to Golf with Jay Delsing.
If you have a car and you're struggling to get some protection for that car, let me recommend Vehicle Assurance. 1-866-341-9255 is their number. They have been in business for over 10 years and have a 30-day money-back guarantee, which is one of the reasons why they have over 1 million satisfied customers. They are known for their painless claims process and their premium vehicle protection. So whatever that car looks like, they can help you. You can find them at vehicleassurance.com or call them again at 866-341-9255 for a free quote. Get the protection and the peace of mind you deserve.
Don't miss the hottest rookie class in PGA Tour Champions history. Stars like Phil Mickelson, Ernie Els, Jim Furyk, and more compete at Norwood Hills Country Club September 6th through the 12th. Join legends Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson, and Hale Irwin to celebrate the PGA Tour Champions' newest event. Professional golf returning to St. Louis in 2021. The Ascension Charity Classic presented by Emerson. Tickets, clubhouse passes, hospitality suites, pro-am foursomes on sale now. Visit ascensioncharityclassic.com.
I am with my buddy Joe Schieser from USA Mortgage.
Hey, Jay, how are you?
Doing great, Joe. Thanks so much for the support of the show.
I really appreciate the opportunity. Congratulations. This is your third year, and we're really proud to be a sponsor all 3 years since the very beginning. It's a great show, and we look forward to it every Sunday morning.
Well, thanks a bunch. Tell us just a little bit about USA Mortgage and what you can do for people.
Well, USA Mortgage is a ESOP. It's an employee-owned company. So over 1,000 families here in St. Louis work for the company. So if you want an opportunity to patronize a local company, please call USA Mortgage 314-628-2015, and I'll be more than happy to sit down with you, go over your options, discuss all the different programs that are available, and give you an opportunity to support a local company.
That's awesome, Joe. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, Jay. Thank you.
You've seen it and played it in bars over the past 30 years, and now you can bring Golden Tee to your home. Complete your basement or man cave with the popular arcade game, The Ultimate Virtual Golfing Experience. Over 80 courses, unique game modes, and you can even challenge a buddy in online tournaments. However you play, you will be the talk of your neighborhood. Visit home.goldentee.com to learn more.
We're halfway there. It's time for the Back Nine on Golf with Jay Delsing.
The Back Nine is brought to you by Fogelbach Agency with Farmers Insurance.
Welcome back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm Jay, your host here. I got John Perlis with me, a good buddy and friend. And we are going to the Back Nine that are brought to you by the Fogelbach Agency with Farmers. 314-398-0101. Anything insurance-wise. Ed's a great person, a great human being. He's got his family working there. They will help you and take care of any of your insurance needs. We are going straight to the back half, last half of the Bob Golby interview.
As short putt here for the record. Bob got it. Steve goes over to congratulate Bob Golby on that record-breaking score. Very fine golf by both players, and the scores were Sam Snead, even par 71, and to set a new course record here at the Philadelphia Country Club, Bob Golby with a 6 under par 65.
Bob Golby is brought to you by Golden Tee.
Who was the fiercest competitor back in your generation? Who was the toughest guy to play against?
Doug Ford won more tournaments in 1950s. Than any other player, more money and more tournaments than any other player, and most people don't know he even played, but he won 20 tournaments in the 50s, and he was, I think, without a good golf swing. I don't say the golf swing is bad, but he wasn't a perfect looking Sam Snead swing, and he didn't knock the ball 9 miles, and he wasn't real straight, but he knew how to play golf and knew how to get the ball in the hole. And I never saw him leave a 10-footer short. He had a strong set of you know what, and he went after every putt. He tried to make it, and that, of course he three putted once in a while. But he was the best competitor. Nobody wanted to play him because he was a good chipper and putter, and he knew how to score. He was hard to beat in the match play. He won the PGA as the match play player in 1956. He won.
Wow.
And he was the best competitor I ever saw without being a great swinger. But as we say, he knew how to play golf, and that's important. What your capabilities are, what the other guy can do. Sometimes you got to play off of his hand. And I think Doug Ford knew how. He was smart, quick-witted, quick mind, and he knew how to play.
This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm visiting with Masters champion Bob Golby, also a member of the St. Louis Golf Hall of Fame, the Illinois State Hall of Fame, the Belleville Walk of Fame. And Bob, you also fought and served for the U.S. military in the Korean War. How long did you spend away from the game and during the wartime?
I didn't see a golf club during the 2 years I was in, got drafted in 1950. And fortunately, I didn't go to Korea. I ended up in Germany. We didn't have a wall at that time, the Berlin Wall. We just had a barbed wire fence. And my company, the 4th Division Reconnaissance Company, we'd guard that barbed wire fence. And the Russians had a gun big as my thigh, and our gun looked like we had a finger sticking there on our tanks. So we were a little cautious all the time of one of our crazy guys firing at the Russians and cause another war. But I didn't get into any fighting, fortunately, and I didn't play golf at all. I never saw a club for 2 years when I was in the service, which hurt my game maybe a little bit, but who knows? Sometimes you work harder, sometimes you got to take it as it comes. Timing is everything in golf. You got to be there at the right time. Just like now, coming along, they're playing for so much money, it's unbelievable. You know, I remember in 1957, I was the 29th leading money winner, and I won $11,000.
Oh my gosh.
I was a champ for the next year, which was the main thing. But at that time, we only 30 players were exempt, not 125. And you go back and think, boy, didn't make much money then. But times were changed, and nobody knew what the game was going to do and where the country was going. So it looked like we were still making decent money, and we were. We lived good, got to play golf every day, get the sun on your hair and the grass on your feet. It's a great feeling to be in the spring when you smell that new mowing grass. Great time of year, and it's a great game.
It really is a great game. Bob, let's talk a little bit about the Champions Tour. I know you were right in the middle of forming that and establishing some of the guidelines for that with some of these other great players, with Snead and those guys.
Well, there were about five of us. Got started with Boris and Snead and Dud Sykes, Gardner Dickinson, Don January, and myself. We kind of got together and got going after the Legends of Golf had two tournaments there, and then we found out maybe there was some interest. I was senior golf around the country, and we ended up with seven tournaments in 1980, and then we had 13. We ended up with 42, which got to be too many, and now they're back down to about 25. And that's a good number for the old guys. I think it's been going now since 1980, and people say it won't last. Well, it's lasted 40 years. That's pretty good. And, people are a little more conscious of joining the senior tour now. Like Mickelson just joined and won two out of the first three that he played in. Everybody seems to jump out there and they're excited about being there and a new life and the way they go. And they usually win early in their career on the second tour or the Champions Tour, which always used to be called the Seniors Tour. Yeah, I was involved heavily, and I was involved with the television senior tour. We got the dean had a problem trying to handle the regular tour. Dean Beeman, the commissioner I'm talking about, and he didn't think there was any interest in senior golf. And I was working for Don Olmeyer at NBC Sports, and he said there was interest. Well, anyway, Don formed his own company, Don Olmeyer. And I worked with him in between, and we got $200,000 from Mazda for eight tournaments, 25 apiece. And that was a start of us getting some television money to the senior tour. And which was, you say, well, that wasn't any money, but the exposure was great, and we got people knowing that we were playing. And before long, we were jumped up there with a lot more money from the television, and we steadily grew from that point on. And television was the big mover. And, of course, Palmer joined us. And I guess you could say one thing we were really lucky about. When we first started, we had Boris and Bolt and Snead, our catalysts, when we got going. Then Palmer joined us about a year later. He didn't want to play senior golf, but he found out he could win on the seniors and not on the regular. So when he joined us, that was a big boost. Then 2 years later, we had Gary Player and Lee Trevino come along, which is superstardom, jump onto the tour, and that was good. Then a little later, we had Irwin and Ray Floyd, some other good players come along. And so every 2 years, we seemed to get a shot of stardom. And then Nicholas said that he wouldn't play senior golf, but he did play quite a bit of it. And when he and Palmer were battling again in the seniors, it brought back memories of the regular tour, and it kept the rivalry alive. Anyway, a bunch of things gelled for us on the senior tour, and what we have now a tour that's been played 40 years, and they play for quite a bit of money now, and now the kids look forward to jumping off the regular tour onto the senior tour. Our Champions Tour, as they call it today.
Bob, I got to tell you, you were such a part of growing the game and growing it from a tour standpoint that trickles down to the average guy. It's just incredible. I don't know how much awareness you had at the time that what you were doing was going to be so great, but I know personally I reaped a lot of the benefits from the things that you guys did, and I really appreciate that.
Well, I had some good guys to work with. So what little credit I get should go to all of us. And, you know, we were more fortunate, as we said, to have Snead, Boris, and Boulders, our catalyst when we got started. And that we all had to work pretty hard to sell the pro-ams and try to make a few nickels and be nice to the partners to make it work. It was a group assessment of what we had to do, and we got it done.
Well, we really appreciate what you've done for the game and growing the game. Let's talk just briefly and just wrap up this interview with talk about your sons. I know you have three boys, and I know Kai is very much involved in the golf course design business.
Yes, that's my oldest son, Kai. He's 57. He's building a course in Aiken, South Carolina now, not too far from St. Louis, down on Poplar Bluff. And he just finished remodeling all the greens at Oakland Hills, a famous course in Detroit, suburbs of Detroit. I finished second in the Open there in 1961. And now this past year, my son spent a year there redoing all the greens and bunkering. And it's kind of ironic how the game of golf comes and goes around. And my family's still involved. Of course, I've got the Haas family. They're all involved in golf. And got a new one coming along, Jerry's son. Jerry's the coach at the Wake Forest. And he's got a son that's a freshman or sophomore in high school that's really good. And so maybe we'll read about another Haas someday.
Well, I sure hope so. Bob, thanks so much for joining me today. Thanks for sharing the stories. Thanks for all you did for the game. And enjoy the heck out of the Masters and enjoy some of those old memories about slipping on that green jacket.
Oh, I'll do that. And I look forward to the dinner that night on Tuesday night. It's always a highlight of the week. And I'll be back home. Next Thursday, I'm coming back to watch the tournament over the weekend. Jay, thanks for your part in golf. And, of course, I knew your father when he played with the Cardinals. And you've always been a gentleman and a good guy for the game. And unfortunately, I thought that you were going to do better on a tour. You thought you were going to do better, and so did everyone else. But sometimes one 10-foot putter can change your whole career, 10-foot putt, and turn you backwards instead of forward, and you never know when that happened to you. But we still partially make a little living out of golf and enjoy doing it, and thanks for what you do.
All right, that's going to wrap up the back nine, but Pearl, how about the sort of players that Bob talked about in this interview?
Just the who's who. It was so much fun to hear from that perspective. He was very definite on his beliefs of those different guys and some really good stories. Sometimes it would be fun to hear the stories that you can't necessarily hear for radio either because that was a different crew back then.
Oh, absolutely. All right, so that's going to wrap up the back nine, but don't go anywhere. Pearlie and I will break this thing down on the Michelob Ultra 19th hole. This is Golf with Jay Delsing.
This is Bill DeWitt III, president of the St. Louis Cardinals, and you're talking to Jay Delsing. And wait, oh, sorry, what's the name of the show?
Golf with Jay Delsing.
Go, sorry, let me start it.
My bad knee affected everything I did from walking to swinging a golf club. SSM Health Physical Therapy has Titleist Performance Institute certified physical therapist. They performed a physical screen on me to see how efficiently I was moving and then gave me golf-specific stretching and exercises to help my game. It's been awesome. Call them at 800-518-1626 or visit them on the web, ssmphysicaltherapy.com, to get set up with one of the TPI-certified physical therapists. See you out on the course. Your therapy, our passion.
Are you looking for a great career? Do you like meeting nice people, working with your hands, and fixing things inside the home? Marcone Appliance Parts Company would like to encourage you to consider a high-paying career in major appliances repair and service. Major appliance service technicians are in very high demand, Major Appliance techs work regular hours and make excellent money. They work local, in their own communities, and are home every night. It is an incredibly stable industry and highly rewarding work. Discover more about your new career in Major Appliance Services today by contacting a local appliance service company in your hometown. In Fairview Heights, Illinois, contact Doug Klein at Klein's Brand Source. The phone number is 618-397-1216. Marcone Appliance Parts Company is based in St. Louis, Missouri, and is the largest distributor of major appliance parts in North America and proud distributor of General Electric parts.
I know you've heard me talk about Whitmore Country Club. I want to thank them for supporting the show again for the third year and tell you things are going great for them. There's 90 holes of golf when you join at the Whitmore Country Club. The membership provides you access to the Missouri Bluffs, the Links of Dardenne, and the Golf Club of Wentzville. Cart fees are included. There's no food or beverage minimums and no assessments. 24-hour fitness center is fantastic. There's two large pool complexes and three tennis courts. Stop in the golf shop. You got to see my buddy Bummer. He is an absolute great guy that would love to help you with your game and love to show you around the facility. He and his staff run golf leagues, skins games, members tournaments, couples events. There's live music. There's great dining opportunities out there, outside, inside. Anything you and your family need golf-wise, fun-wise, visit WhitmoreGolf.com or call them at 636-926-9622.
Professional golf returns to St. Louis in 2021. The Ascension Charity Classic, presented by Emerson. Stars like Phil Mickelson, Ernie Els, Jim Furyk, and more compete at Norwood Hills Country Club, September 6th through the 12th. Tickets, clubhouse passes, hospitality suites, and pro-am foursomes are on sale now. All proceeds go to North St. Louis County Charities. Visit AscensionCharityClassic.com or call 314-938-2828. PGA Tour Golf is back in the loo. The Ascension Charity Classic.
Have you met your local Farmers Insurance agent, Ed Fogelbach? He proudly serves St. Louis area families and businesses and is ready to review your existing policies and provide a no-obligation quote today. Call the Fogelbach Agency at 314-398-0101 to get smarter about your insurance. Again, that's the Fogelbach Agency with Farmers Insurance at 314-398-0101.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
I want to tell you about Dean Team Volkswagen of Kirkwood. My friend Colin Burnt runs the store over there, and he helped me buy a used Volkswagen for my daughter Jo when she turned 16. We've had the car for over a year. It's running great. It's nice and safe, and we've taken it there to get it serviced just recently. Pearlie, that does the show with me, just bought a nice Toyota truck from Colin. So I want you to know that if there's any sort of vehicle you need, anything at all, you can get it at the Dean Team Volkswagen of Kirkwood. You can call them at 314-966-0303 or visit them at DeanTeamVWKirkwood.com.
Grab your friends, a cold one, and pull up a chair. We're on to the 19th hole on golf with Jay Delsing.
The 19th hole is brought to you by Michelob Ultra.
And we are back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay. I got Pearlie with me, and we're headed to the Michelob Ultra 19th hole. Pearlie, I know you got a cold one in your hand right here with me. Let's talk a little Bob Golby.
Oh, fun interview, Jay. I'll tell you, I just want to start with one thing, because Wayne Gretzky the week before said some similar types of things. It's a different game now, and that's fine. I have to tell you something. For me, it's not fine. When I'm out there playing with you and some of those 16-year-olds that you're turning into superstars, and they're hitting at 50 by me, 60 by me, right now it's not fine for me. I haven't let that go yet.
You know, Pearl, that pisses me off a little bit, too. Old Blake Scorney kind of dropped package on one of my drives by about 30 yards last time I played with him, and I wasn't too tickled about that either.
But it was interesting how these two guys, now Bob's older, but Wayne, he was cool with it relative to hockey. He said, hey, these guys are bigger, they're better, they're faster, the equipment's better. And he said, that's the way it should be. I can't get there. I'm working on it, but I can't get there.
Well, so what I was so excited to ask Bob was who he thought the best player he ever played with, because he got to play with Jack, he got to play with Arnold, Gary Player, you know, the big three. He got to play with Watson. He got to, but then Pearl, you go back in time, and he got to play with Demerit and Sarazen and Snead and Hogan and you know, Doc Kerry Middlecoff. Those guys, we're talking about a laundry list of Hall of Famers.
Well, and then even a touch with Tiger Woods. So I mean, what a span that he got to see in the game that was just kind of probably unprecedented. He was kind of in that sweet spot to experience all that. And who did he come up with? Sam Snead.
Sam Snead, the best player of all time. Well, he's won the most tournaments, that's for sure. And I love the question. I couldn't wait to ask the question, about who was the toughest competitor, who was had the most grit. And he said, Pearl, and we played with him, or at least I played. I don't know if you – did you get a chance to play with Doug Ford?
No, I did not.
Okay, I played with Doug Ford, and oh, my gosh, as Bob said it, he had the biggest set of you-know-whats he's ever seen in his life, and he played – Bob said – when you watch him play, he should have never won an event. And he said he won over 20 times in a span that he mentioned. And so just tons and tons of respect for a player like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, just fun stuff. And what, as you said in the opening, what he's accomplished and what he's kind of brought to the game of golf. Just the whole senior tour. And I do remember that a little bit, too, as far as the doubts people had, and it's not going to last, and nobody's going to care. And then whatever he joked, I don't remember what number it is, but it's been around for many years, and obviously it has stuck. And by the way, it's very possibly moving into another pretty cool time, because there's a lot of very talented guys out there, again, kind of priming the pump for that tour.
No, you're right, Pearl. An absolute renaissance going on right now, and that's where the Ascension Charity Classic comes in. The St. Louis is going to get to see this, be right in the middle of Ernie Els and Jim Furyk and Phil Mickelson, and couples will still be around. It's pretty impressive. And when you think about, you know, what Bob and that group did, you know, they started with eight events, John. Eight events,
yep.
And it's interesting the way that this game is, because you and I know this all the time. We talk about the charitable aspects. We talk about networking and how fortunate I've been because of the players I've met through the game, the people I've met through the game, through different industries and things like that. Bob Golby talks about his time with NBC when he was working. Do you remember Don Olmeyer? Great guy, huge UCLA supporter when we were out playing Bel Air all the time. And Don said to Bob, that's a bunch of BS. They will support that. There will be money for TV. And Don Olmeyer went out and stood behind that tour. And he did so many great things in the world of television and sports, but he had his hand in, a big hand in the Champions Tour as we know it today.
He sure did. A lot of fun stories with him across the board. What's the lineage a little bit with some of the folks you know, with Dillard Pruitt and Jay Haas? Tell the folks a little bit about where he fits in that for the folks that know some of those names.
Right, so Bob Golby is Jay Haas's uncle. And Jay married Dillard Pruitt's sister, Jan. And, then Jay's son, Bill Haas, Jay Jr. was a good player, went to Augusta State and played college golf. But Jay Haas had a great career and still playing on the PGA Tour, won four or five events, won the Tour Championship one year. So the golf lineage runs deep from Belleville, Illinois, John.
That's awesome. Absolutely. I'm glad you told some of that story.
You know, that's going to wrap up another show. Pearl, thanks for being with me this week.
Appreciate it, Jay. Fun. Another fun interview and a double Masters whammy.
Yeah, that's great stuff. We will be back at you next week. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. Hit 'em straight, St. Louis.